speaking of hangry, we got something going on the Truth Network that's going to help the world not be so hangry.
Yeah, he's talking about just needing God's word. He said, please help the Truth Network send Bibles to Africa. And we know that they need God's word. We have until the end of the month, just $5 gets a Bible in the hands of a poor impoverished believers all over the African continent with the help of the Bible League. Just $5. Just think about that, Robbie. Just $5. So please give. If you can give more than $5, man, we'd love for you to do it. And the number to call is 1-800-YES-WORD. 1-800-YES-WORD.
1-800-YES-WORD.
This is Stu Epperson from the Truth Talk Podcast, connecting current events, pop culture, and theology. And we're so grateful for you that you've chosen the Truth Podcast Network. It's about to start in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, and please share it around with all your friends. Thanks for listening, and thanks for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Welcome to Man Talk, brought to you by TAWCMM, Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry, where they're devoted to breaking down the walls of race and denomination and challenging men to take their God-assigned role. Here's our hosts, Will Hardy and Roy Jones Jr., a black guy and a white guy.
Well, it is... wait a minute. Who is this guy that's sitting across from me?
I'm not sure. He hasn't been here in a long time. We better get his credentials, check his credentials.
I'm telling you, we need to check you out. We need to make sure you go out. We lock the door.
Well, see, that's the whole reason I've been missing in action. I've been getting checked out. There's been, is it one hospital or another? I'm just kidding.
Well, it's good to have you back, Roy.
It's great to be back, Will.
So you know, the men's group, as you know, have been going through this study called Maximize Manhood by Edwin
Cole. Fantastic study.
It is. It is. And, you know, we just want to share just excerpts from the book and our favorite chapters that, you know, we have gone through thus far. We're still going through it. But, you know, men, if you're listening, you might, and you have your church Bible study out there, because for men, this might be some material you're interested in.
It is. It's a great material base, Will. And for young and old, it doesn't matter what point in life you're in and what part of the journey you're on, this is a fantastic renewal, reminder, refresher, and the new material for many areas.
And it's an easy read, you know, So it, you know, you don't have to, not cumbersome. Not
Why
a
are you looking at me when you say it's an easy read? Folks, he's looking at it, and it's an easy read, Roy.
It is a very easy read.
Well, and I am a testament to that, because it's about 200 pages, and I'm already about 190, somewhere in that range. So
you've gone through it then. So some of the things that I've looked at while reviewing the book, and, you know, we're going to, again, pick out our favorite chapters. And one of my favorites was, it was entitled, Is There a Priest in the House?
Come on.
And
if you're listening, we're talking to you.
Absolutely, because God has called you to be the priest, and he has called you to minister to your family. Now, that's not to say that everything goes through you and God has to go through you in order to get things done in the family. It just means that you need to be the minister, the leader of your family.
And of your house. And Will, God put on my heart right here real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Is it important for a priest to be, a man to be a priest of his home if he lives by himself?
Absolutely. Mm. Because see, there is no difference if you got individuals in the house or not, because you're going to encounter somebody.
Right.
And God should have your heart and mind prepared, so when you encounter whoever it is you encounter, neighborhood people that you meet in the store, wherever you go, you know, you can share the gospel with them, and it's all about ministering the word.
Right, and also keeping purity, as we talk about many times on the show. As a priest of your home, it's important to keep purity within your home. And if you're single, that becomes even more challenging, right? Because you got more temptations coming at you through the different venues and streams we've talked about in the past.
And we have said that an individual's character is based off of when no one is looking.
What he's doing when no one's looking. That's right.
So, see, you got to know that God is watching you. So, you know, if you're a man of purity, you know, even though someone that's not around you physically, you got to know that God is watching.
Exactly. And if you've accepted Jesus in your heart, you've got the Holy Spirit residing in you, right?
Exactly. So this chapter, you know, he talks about an instance where he was speaking with this woman, and she came up to him and she said, you know, I can't talk to my pastor within the neighborhood, and I can't share these things with him. But I heard about you ministering to men, and I heard about how you have, you know, challenged men in certain areas, and it really interests her. That, Roy, I think in and of itself, because a man who is really wanting to get his household in order, that woman would be ideal, because she understands, number one, what men need, and she understands what her role is in the home.
Right. That's a good point, Will.
So, you know, having that understanding of knowing your role, number one, and then knowing your husband's role, number two, I think would excite any man because that's an area, I think, to where he really don't have to put a lot of emphasis. Mm. And she was saying, I'm not getting leadership, you know, at home. Now, I mean, think about how that impacts the heart. A woman who is looking for leadership.
Desiring, not getting it. Yeah. And, you know, without the leadership, then there's later in the book, it talks about what that reflects childishness, Will. And so the wife becomes, in essence, the mother.
Mm-hmm.
If she's not getting the leadership from the husband and he's acting childish, if you will, then she basically becomes the mother. And in the book, it talks about then the intimacy standpoint of it. You know, how do you expect, you know, that to have the intimate times with, quote unquote, your mother from her standpoint, right? Because she's acting as the mother in the relationship, not as the wife and your partner and helpmate.
Exactly. And, you know, he goes on to talk about to where the wife, even though she understands what her role is, that she should not be pushing the man.
Right.
You know,
self-starter.
You know, but she should help him as she understands he is reaching and wanting to learn more about what he's supposed to be doing in the household.
Key being that he wants to learn and he's not still sitting on the sidelines.
Exactly. And so that in and of itself is a blessing.
It is, you know.
So, and then he says, she says, I just don't have any leadership from my husband. And then she goes on to talk to Edwin and says, please tell the men, wherever you go, that we women just want them to be leaders in our home in every way, especially to lead us in prayer. And, you know, we talked about prayer
all the time
being a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
And in the study of God's word. Now, let me just stop right there and say this, that a lot of men would say, well, I'm not versed in the word of God. So if a man comes to you, Roy, and says that, what would you say to him?
That's okay, because all you've got to do is start. You got to start reading, start learning, and then God will take care of the rest, like we always talk about. Start stepping in the natural, let God take care of the rest in the supernatural.
And my advice with him to be, take what you have learned in Bible study.
Yep.
Take what you have learned in the message and start talking about that on your way home. Talk about it around the dinner table, but we don't get any of that. There's no reinforcement once the message goes out. We say to each other, oh, my pastor preached a good message, but we can't tell him what the scripture was. But we can tell him what the choir sang.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. 30 minutes later, they can't remember the message.
Exactly.
Most people can't.
Yeah. And see, so it's just like falling on deaf ears.
So a good thing to think about here, folks, is if you'll take notes while you're listening to your sermon or to your pastor, or then you've got notes to reflect back to, as Will's indicating. And you don't have to have it all memorized. You can go back and start reading your notes, which will initiate and instigate conversation, if you will, between each other. And then God can come right then and sit down with you and unveil what he really needs you to pull from those lessons.
Amen, because you don't need a doctorate. You don't need a master's. You don't need any of those things. All you need to do is let God bless you to discuss those things that you talked about. And if you have a problem with something that you heard that you may not understand, the pastor is available, or maybe some of his staff is available to where you can get clarification on some things. But the ideal is don't let it sit on idle ears and in an idle heart.
Right. Because well, they can dial 1-800-WHEEL. Party.
Well, I'll be glad to give them those things that God have blessed me to know. But you, as a parishioner, you understand, you know, the aspects of what your pastor delivers on a weekly basis, monthly basis, and the study period and time. Because, see, worship is to prepare you, Bible study is to prepare you for the worship service. So during the time, during the week, if you have midweek Bible study, that's to talk about things that you may have heard from last Sunday's message and say, hey, pastor, you know, you said such and such and such. Can you clarify this? But see, I think, again, as men, we macho. So it's like, I don't want to talk to my pastor and let him think that I don't know, you know. So that'll put a damper on him and hurt his quote unquote male ego.
Well, it takes a bigger man to say, I need help, or to say I don't have all the answers than it does to falsify or claim he does when he really doesn't, right? You know, we'll back to this young lady that was speaking with the pastor. It's really kind of one other line I'm reading here. It says, please understand, I love my husband. It's just that I get so hungry, so hungry for him to take his place. I don't want to step in and take it. That isn't right. I know a lot of women do, but I don't think it's right. So the ladies, folks, men and women, if you're listening, tell your husbands, tell the men in your life that you really want them to take their place to lead. And again, men, as we've always stressed, it's not being a dictator. It's leading by example, by serving and doing it the right way.
And, you know, I like when he talked about you are drawn to your wife more intimate, not in the physical sense, because there's spiritual intimacy and there's physical intimacy.
Right.
And so as he was going through talking about that, I made a note here that said, he said, a woman praying for her husband develop an intimacy with him in spirit that draws her to him. She identifies with his needs and thus help him to meet them. Notice, help him, not push him to something that he might be rejecting, but just sort of helping to steer him in that direction, knowing that if he has that hunger for it, God is going to open up the door and going to allow him to experience these things.
And that key being the hunger. Now, Will, if I'm listening to the podcast today, and I know that I need to be reading the Bible more, I know that I need to be leading my wife better in this area, but I just can't seem to get started. What do you tell that listener?
Well, you know, we have talked about this before, and so if you go back and listen to some of the podcasts that we put out, these are the things that we basically said that you should be doing. You should be praying. You should have devotion time. You should get yourself in a small group Bible study. You should be around strong men. You should allow yourself a period of time where you pray yourself and then bring your family into prayer. So if you go back and listen to some of the podcasts, we have went in detail.
Laid it out.
And talked about some of these things that a man need to be doing in order to get started.
Folks, we'll be right back with you. We're getting ready to take a break. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going Maximize Manhood by Edwin Cole.
TAWCMM would love to have you join their community of men for breakfast every first and third Friday of every month. They have Bible discussions and fellowship after the best breakfast in town. The meeting location is at their gracious host church, First Christian Church in Kernersville, 1130 North Main Street in Kernersville. They have a hard start at 7 o'clock and a hard stop at 8 o'clock. First-time visitors eat for free. Join your hosts, Will Hardy and Roy Jones Jr., a black guy and a white guy. Affordable Chiropractic in High Point. As you might tell from their name, Affordable Chiropractic, even for the cash patient. Dr. Jeff Fricke has been caring for patients in High Point for 34 years. Physical therapy such as ultrasound and spinal decompression for disc conditions such as herniation. Comprehensive care for auto accident injury patients with no out-of-pocket expense. Remember, Affordable Chiropractic on West Lexington Avenue in High Point. Call 336-885-1987.
Welcome back to Man Talk Radio. Will, right before break, we were talking about, you know, how to get men started, and you led them back to the podcast of past, and so we'll get back in the chapter. One of the things I was just reading and reviewing that the Edwin says is that the failure of the man to pray for his wife means that he can have a physical intimacy, but he does not develop the intimacy of spirit that produces true oneness. And then the next paragraph says, sexual relations are one thing, spiritual union is another. Men, if you really want to be one with your wife, then pray for her and with her, as we've stressed many, many times in previous shows.
And see, and I think this goes into what he talked about later on, too, on this page, Roy, when he says that a woman feels unique in her own way when she is getting that spiritual attention, not necessarily physical,
right,
but the spiritual attention. Because if the spiritual attention comes, then I think it will naturally, the physical intimacy and attention will naturally follow.
Mm-hmm.
But it's what we do in the spirit for each other. The woman praying for her husband and the husband praying for his wife.
Mm.
So when they get into that mode spiritually, then God will begin to connect them, and then they'll get new meaning to one flesh.
They will. Exactly, mm-hmm. Yeah. And the way it was originally designed.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So in this particular chapter, too, I made a whole lot of notes in here. So on I'm on page 82. Now, Roy, and he says in here, men can change habits. I'm in the middle of the page. Mm-hmm. Men can change habits. Only God can change your nature. See, the nature of the natural wants to control your thoughts, control your actions, control who you, the person that you came from. You don't want to go back to being that person who has the same mind, you know, who has the same godly and ungodly affections and worldly lusts. We don't want to be that man. But that's where the mind wants to draw us and take us back. So he says here, the woman who finds herself with an unbelieving husband on her hands or a Christian husband less than maximized in his potential manhood has two key steps, and I made asterisks by both of these. Number one, make sure that you have forgiven your husband of all his sins.
Yeah, let's stress that. Read that again, Will.
That she forgive her husband for all of his sins.
And forgiveness means it doesn't mean you forget it.
Mm-hmm.
It means you let the Son of God override, or the daughter of God override, the daughter of man. And you keep it pressed down and you don't bring it up.
Exactly. Because when you dwell on it, if you focus on it, if you're always talking about it
manifests itself
again. That means you hadn't forgiven.
Yes.
And you'll never forget.
No.
You know, and just speaking about, and he actually gave this example in here. But as when years ago when I was working at the plant, and I'm not going to mention any names because I didn't really get their permission to talk about specifics in this area. But I once worked with a man at a plant, and he cheated on his wife.
Mm.
And he would come in because he was on a call-in. And so he worked in an area where he needed to be on duty when it was his turn to be on duty. And so if things happened within the plant site, we would have to call him and he'd come in, you know, check it out and bring in any other guys that he needed in order to rectify whatever the situation was. And he had cheated on his wife. And every time we would call to bring him in the plan, he wouldn't be there 30 minutes and his wife would be calling.
To make sure he was there.
To make sure he was there.
Yeah.
And she obviously had never forgiven him. And so sometimes I would be in the office when he would pick up the phone and I could see the disdainment in his face.
Right.
You know, and his countenance had fallen. And he was like, wow, here she goes again. You know, and it was like, am I ever going to be free from the mistake that I made?
Mm.
And I felt really, really bad for him, but she would do it every time. Mm. And so she had basically bind him, and he talks about that.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I was getting ready to read that, Will. Mm-hmm. It says, first, make sure you're forgiving your husband of all his sins. Then it says, many wives do not forgive their husbands. Without forgiveness, she holds his sins against him and binds them to him.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that, folks. If you bind the sin to the person, then it's always going to manifest itself either in your imagination that you're thinking something's going on, or you're going to continue accusing or pursuing it with that person, and then it happens again because they're saying, hey, I'm already being blamed for this. So, you know, and then they fall to temptation again because they're already being not trusted, if you will.
Yeah, and that's giving them an excuse or giving them a reason, and of course,
pathway to it.
Absolutely. And even though the person knows if or not they're doing this, they should not allow themselves to be pulled into the mire.
Right.
So ultimately, the man is going to have to make this decision to say, if my wife is continuously thinking this and I can't do anything otherwise to change her mind, I'm just going to have to continue to trust God.
Well, it says many men who genuinely desire to become the man God wants them to be find themselves battling to be free from their wives' bondage of unforgiveness. So they're bound by the unforgiveness, so they can't be the man that God wants them to be.
That's right. And then secondly, he says, love him. He said that's a simple statement. And then he talks about 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 in the Amplified. And he says, you married women, be submissive to your own husbands and adapt yourselves to them so that if they do not obey the word of God, they may be won over not by discussion. In other words, you can't talk him mm-hmm. into being born again. You just can't sweet talk him into being a child of God, but by the life that you live. So he is going to be looking at your life. So women, if you had a man who cheated on you, don't suspect that every time he is doing this, in particular, if he is a man who wants to, you see that he's making an effort to get himself back on track. Because, see, that's the two things, Roy. Either he's going to want to be able to get back on track, or he's going to say, forget it, I'm just worn out this marriage.
Yeah, because you can't never overcome the failure.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And what it says is when they observe the pure and modest way in which you, the wives, conduct yourselves together with your reverence for your husband, which includes respect, revere him, honor, esteem, appreciate, prize, and in the human sense, adore him. Mm-hmm. That is to admire, praise, be devoted to, deeply love, and enjoy him.
And this is what your husband, women, this is what your husband desire. Mm. But if you're living a godly life, God promises right here in 1 Peter chapter 3, it's a promise mm-hmm. that God made. And God cannot go back on his promise, said if you continue to live a godly life, and it may not come, you may want to see results in 2 months, 6 months. It may take a year. It may take a year and a half. For some, it could be a week, because everyone is different and everybody's insight as to whether or not they want to be drawn closer mm-hmm. to God is different. So we just can't put a number on it. It may take 4 or 5 years for some, you know, to yeah. come.
And
back.
One of the things here, men, that you can do to reassure your wife is tell her that she is the one that God wanted you to have. And reinforce that.
Exactly.
Don't ever give her doubt that you were that she was the one that you wanted to be with.
Because the marriage vow is a confession that causes commitment. But a lack of commitment is a major issue facing couples. Many men feel they were coerced into marriage. See, manipulated or coerced by, you know, some circumstance that they get into. And see, likewise, the women now, women marries because they might slip up, get pregnant, or for some financial insecurity or some other pressure.
Right.
She is often uncertain that her husband is God-given. So if she is saying, we got to get married because I'm pregnant, or because now my inability to work has gone and I was a working woman before you came along and got me pregnant, well, it takes two to tango.
Definitely yeah. Takes two to dance.
You know, you just can't say, you know, it's on one person or another, because if you're mutually having intercourse, then there you have it.
Yeah.
You know,
it is. Yeah. It's a mutual decision. So, and along those lines, if you've been or have experienced that premaritally, I would encourage you as a couple now married to sit down and pray for that sinful behavior, for repentance, but also to break that, what we used to refer to as and have referred to as the soul tie with,
mm-hmm.
you know, because there's a union mm-hmm. that occurs that wasn't designed pre-marriage to be done,
exactly.
to be had. So God can restore. In fact, later in one of the other chapters, he talks about that very thing that causes some challenges in marriages today. So, and one thing here, it says, men, you are the priest,
mm-hmm.
so you must minister to your family.
Because every husband needs to realize that the sacredness of marriage union is God's highest priority in any marriage. Every man needs to settle it in his mind, and he needs to understand that if I am married, my reasons for being married should not be forced upon me, because if I am being forced into a marriage, or if the woman is feel like she's being forced, just like he says here, they're going to say, you're not the man or the woman for me.
Right. And then one thing that Edwin says in this chapter, be mindful that you don't own anything.
That's right.
That you're only the steward, and God has given you stewardship over those things in your life. And that includes your family. You are to be a good steward over your family and be the priest that you need to be in your own home.
So if he's given you a wife, or if he's given you children, then you are the steward over them. And what's going to happen is God is going to hold you accountable on what you did as a man.
Thank you for joining Man Talk Radio Podcast.
As we wrap up today's show, be assured that TAWCMM, Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry, is building a community of men that are Christ followers with a desire to be servant leaders in their homes, communities, churches, and work environments. Check out our website for upcoming events and regularly scheduled meetings. Drop us a note for topics that you would like to have us visit in the future. Thank you for joining us on Man Talk today. Visit us at www.tawcmm.com. Men walking the talk.
This is the Truth Network.